The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you in the name of God, our Creator, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Advent is my favorite time in the church year, and so I'm excited for us to share some time together reflecting on these beautiful stories. No matter what year it is or where we are in our lectionary, our scripture pattern, typically on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we read this passage about Mary's visit to Elizabeth and her song. It's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, and part of that is because it is a song. Now, if you followed along in your Bible, yes, the text does say, "And Mary said," but we know from the manuscripts and we know from the intentions of the text that it is indeed a song. Our gospel story for today is all about how Mary sings of God's love, how she embodies that love, and how we can join her song too. Mary sings. And it's an incredibly faithful and brave reaction to her situation. Like you heard us talk with the kids, she's very nervous about what's about to happen, but she's also excited. You can hold many emotions at one time. Remember that Mary, at this point in her life, even though today she receives much respect and even veneration in some traditions, when she was visiting Elizabeth, she was just a poor Jewish girl, a teenager, really, maybe 14, 15, 16 years old. She lived a humble life at the bottom of society. And then, as a young woman who was unmarried and pregnant, she would have faced much ridicule. She goes then to see her cousin Elizabeth for safety and companionship. And when Elizabeth greets Mary, she says the warmest of welcomes and calls her blessed. You are blessed among women. The world did not consider Mary blessed, but Mary trusted that God would bring blessings through her for the entire world. When the angel Gabriel told her that she was going to bear a son, Mary understood that he would be the Messiah, the Savior. So before we ask or even sing, "Mary, did you know?" Trust me, she knew. She knew. We hear it in this text. She knew that the baby that she would deliver would soon deliver you. Mary sings of deliverance and salvation that this baby brings. And it all starts with love. Her song begins like this. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his service." Mary sings, she says, "My soul magnifies, my soul is making bigger." She's adoring God, she's loving God, she's praising God because God loves her. When the text says that God looked with favor on Mary, it is also sort of a reciprocating of that love, that God adored Mary, would care for her and loved her. Even if she was an outcast or lowly, God is deeply trusting Mary and committed to her. So Mary continues to sing. So it's a love song, and she sings about how and why she loves God so much. She continues talking about how the lowly are lifted up and the hungry are filled with good things. The proud are scattered and the rich are sent away empty. And it's as if the playing field is evened out. Now, this part of the song can perhaps be the most uncomfortable, depending on where you may find yourself. Are you part of the haves or the have-nots? But I don't necessarily interpret it that this evening out is a complete reversal, where those that did not have power are now going to lord their power onto those that used to have power. I don't think God wants anybody exploiting power. That's not what it means to get even or anything. Instead, it's a making things even, right? So things are leveled. It's like we sang in Comfort, Comfort Now My People, the rough places are made plain. It's an evening. Everybody's going to have what they need. Nobody has an overabundance at the expense of their neighbor. God will take all people out of a desperate situation, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and deliver everybody. God saves. God loves those that the world does not. And that is what Mary is singing about, her love of God's love for all people. No matter where you find yourself, no matter if you feel worthy of this love, it is for you. Mary's song is a powerful love song. I imagine it's like any love song, right? How many of you, and be honest, have made a mixtape for your beloved? Yeah? I don't know, maybe like the kids these days like send a Spotify playlist, I don't know. But we know what it's like to say, "Hun, I just can't communicate how much I love you, but here's a song that might try," you know? That's what this is like. Mary is just, she can't even captivate how mighty and big and unthinkable God's love is, so she's going to sing about it. That is how I imagine her song is. And her song, it invites us to respond through music as well, right? Here in church, we sing all the time in praise of God. And I can't help but wonder with you, how else do you enrich your life and faith life through music, right? Maybe you sing to teach your kiddos the alphabet. Maybe you hum a favorite hymn when you do the dishes. When I grew up, my house, I was very blessed that it was often filled with song. And most of the time, it was my dad's relentless whistling. And as I was thinking, it was really quite annoying. But and he's watching. He is worshiping with us right now. But now, after this sermon and reflecting on that, I think about what a gift that it was that my dad, even on the hardest of days, felt comforted by a happy tune. He had a joyful noise to share, and it just overflowed from him. He couldn't help himself, and he wanted to share that with everybody around him. And so I hope that you find comfort in music, too, and can find it in your life. Now, this sort of gift that my dad gave me is now a constant in our household. Our little son, Simon, is a year old, and sometimes, even when he's quite grumpy, he responds to singing. He will calm down if he's upset. Like, even if we're getting him into the high chair and the oatmeal has to cool off and he's just not having it, we often sing him a good morning song. And kiddos in first through fourth grade, you might recognize it. So it goes like this. Good morning, Simon. How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? Good morning, Simon. How do you do? God loves you today. And then you add a verse. So in 1 through 4 classroom, we might say things like, if you've got a red shirt on, stand up, right? But for Simon, it's, please eat your oatmeal. Yes, please. Keep it on the spoon now. Yes, please. Okay. So But really, like, he responds to singing. He really, it calms him down and he feels better. And we each night we sing a lullaby to him as well. Lullabies are a very special type of music. And my friend, Dr. Francisco Herrera, interprets Mary's song as a lullaby too. He sees it as an inspiration from the Quechua Maya tradition, where in that culture, around the seventh month of pregnancy, women sing to their babies to prepare them for the life that they are going to enter into. And I imagine Mary is doing that for Jesus. She's saying, there are people who are hungry, the world is not fair, but you know, you can make a difference. You, Jesus, are gonna change it, right? It's kind of like what Nora was saying to you kids. There's something bigger and better, and you will be a part of it. So I see Mary's song as a love song and a lullaby, helping sing into existence the world that she wants to be, the world that God will create. Why and how do you sing, my dear friends? We have such incredible musicians. We can't thank them enough for being with us. Our choir, I'm sure you sing because it's fun, right? And it's special to be able to lead people in song, to convey things that we can't otherwise communicate. I sang in college at Luther College. I know you're out there, my fellow Norsemen, but I had friends that would not, they would only go to church if they had to sing in the choir, right? They weren't really followers of Jesus. They weren't sure they believed in God at all. But they told me that they could not deny that when they sang in choir, they felt connected to something bigger. Maybe they'd even call it the divine. There is something special that happens when we unite in song. And I know I'm going on and on because I love music. And I think if you're at St. Philip the Deacon, you probably do too. But you might be saying, but I just don't sing in front of people. I just can't. And I understand. I had a voice coach that said, singing is like bearing your soul before people. And if someone says, you know, you might be just a little flat on that last line, it can feel very personal. It can feel, you know, like it's tender, right? But when we sing for God, when we sing for our beloveds, when we sing for our kids, it's not about making it perfect. It's just about participating, making a joyful noise. There will be some in our community that cannot sing anymore. Maybe a stroke or a disease has taken their voice away. But often when they hear music, they can connect on a deeper level. So wherever you find yourself in your comfortability of singing, I hope that you can remember the wise words of Buddy the Elf. Singing is just like talking, except it's louder and longer and you move your voice up and down. And the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. We can all do it. I believe in you. We can all participate in music for the glory of God and to convey God's love to one another. Perhaps this year you may not feel like singing, though. It might be an especially blue Christmas for whatever you may be going through. And here is the most important part about music in a faith community, my friends. When you cannot sing, we will sing for you. When you cannot praise God this day, they will praise for you. When you cannot pray, we will pray for you. When you cannot sing, we will sing for you. This is what church is all about. This is what the incarnation is all about. We celebrate and we sing this love song that was made flesh. The word was made flesh and came among us through a woman, through a birth, in the person of Jesus, so that God can intimately know what each and one of you may be going through. And we are then here. We are flesh and bone of this word for each other. So may we sing together. May we comfort each other. May we give each other space to grieve or mourn. May we sing of this great love that we have in Christ Jesus. Let us sing. Let us join Mary's song. And let us love one another. Amen.